How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. How are you today, sir?
Hanging in there. Oh, what a tragedy in Washington, D.C. yesterday, huh? Last night.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I will say this. Trump was quick to respond to it. Biden would still be in the basement somewhere. You know, he wouldn't, you know, somebody would come out and tell him what to say. And, but Trump, he saw the same stuff that
we
saw.
But, you know, it's interesting. He posted something on Truth. I haven't got it in front of me, but this was after he had made the announcement that you're talking about, where he came out and talked about how sorry he was and the country was saddened by the loss. But afterwards on Truth, he said, you know, it was a clear night. The helicopter had all of its lights on. Everybody, you should have been able to, and they have what they call TCAS on the airplane, which is terrain. It tells you when you're too low. It'll say things like, pull up. You know, you probably heard it. And you would have thought that the plane would have sensed that there was a helicopter right below it. You know, and that should have gone off, pull up, but it didn't do that, I guess. Do you know, by the way, Bill, it was like 42 years ago or 41 years ago when that Air Florida plane crashed this month.
No, there's something weird about this. This was a flight that there wasn't. At one time, this wasn't a regular flight route,
yeah.
But it was because a lot of politicians said, yeah, we need that to get from home, where our constituents are, to D.C. So it's a regular routine flight. I looked on a map. Now, I'm not saying there's not a military base around there that they're not going to willy-nilly put them on maps, but I'm going like, if this was a problem now, this should have been a problem for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not. But I saw the video. And I'm sitting here going, that helicopter was deliberate, and it was in the path. And, you know, you say, why didn't it see, I mean, the plane see right. The helicopter? Well, a couple of things. Number one, do you not think that they might have a way to stealth the helicopter?
Well, first of all, if you've been into a cockpit of an airliner, even a smaller jet like that, there's a lot of blind spots in the cockpit. Lots of blind spots. If you look to the side on an airplane from the cockpit, you see the wing. You don't see what's below the wing. The thing that gets me is the helicopter has a lot of visual. You can see up. Many times in some helicopters, you can see there are glass panels below. I'm not sure. Was it a Black Hawk? They said that was the
Black Hawk helicopter. Now, I will go back to the plane, the jet.
Right.
It's one of the smaller commuter jets, but either way, it had 60 souls on board that are gone.
Right.
Is what I understand. And all life was lost. But in that kind of plane, or big commercial airlines, the pilot's not up there all the time with his hands on the stick, running knobs and everything. It's all programmed in. So in other words, he gets that thing out on the tarmac, he takes it off, and even some of the Lockheed L-1011s. You know, once you got it out there and got going, she was programmed to lift off herself, and she knows exactly what you've got dialed in. She'll sit there and get up to altitude, turn, and go off into the horizon fly herself there.
In 1981 or 82, I was on an airliner called, it was made by Fokker, which is a German or a Dutch company. Mm-hmm. It was a Fokker F-100, and I can remember flying into Buffalo during a snowstorm. And I was concerned, and this is back then, almost 42 years ago now. I said, boy, I hope the pilot knows what he's doing. I can't see in front of my hand in front of my face. He said, this thing is programmed to land by itself. This is back 40 years ago. So you know that the planes today are far more sophisticated, can do a lot more. So I don't totally understand. And I've flown. Have you flown into a DC at all ever, Bill? Have you ever flown into
I've never done Dulles or Reagan, but I've done a lot of stuff on the East Coast, Midwest, the West Coast. But
you know, it's kind of a tricky airport. First of all, it's a smaller airport. It was made for DC-3s and DC-6s, and they're landing jets on it. So you have to have a little extra training, believe it or not, before you land at Reagan, because you come in over the Potomac, and then there's the runway. And it's a smaller runway, so you got to land and stop. You know, you can't dilly-dally. You can't glide down the runway like a lot of the bigger runways. You know, when you see them landing sometimes, you're wondering, is that plane ever going to touch down? I mean, it's flying along the runway, like 10 feet above the runway. These planes have to come in and land so that they can stop.
Yeah, they're tricky airports. I know in Mexico City, you're coming over the mountain, you gotta drop. When I was taking flight lessons to learn to fly, I was in Paris, Texas. He said, "Yeah, we're going to go to Paris today." I said, "What?" No, Texas. But I remember, you know, we had to come in, or I had to come in high, and there was a radio station tower, not even a quarter mile to a half mile from the runway.
Yeah,
and it was a tall tower, so I had to maintain a certain altitude above that tower, and then I had to,
drop
down that engine, and full flaps, and I'm dropping.
Now, you ever
like
wonder
rock,
why? What great mind says, "Hey, let's put a tower right at the middle of a flight path to an airport"? You know, that's not a lot of great thinking involved with that. Somebody should have said, "No, we can't have a tower there. We got I'll never forget. There was a terrible plane crash. I want to say it was in either Detroit or Dallas, but plane came in and it hit fuel tanks at the end of the runway. These big, massive fuel tanks. I think it was in Dallas. And I can remember thinking, why would they put the fuel tank so close to the runway where a plane can hit it? You would think that they would have to put the fuel tanks like underground maybe, or because, you know, they put gas fuel tanks for, you know, service stations. All those tanks are underground. Why didn't they do that with these tanks? Instead, they have these big, massive fuel tanks at the end of a runway. So a plane goes off the runway, hits the fuel tanks, the tank blows up, everybody's killed. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You would think that, you know, also, I've often wondered why at airports they don't have those gravel catches at the end of the runway. You know, if you go down a hill, like in Pittsburgh, there are some interesting hills going down into a tunnel.
There are
truck brake drive. When you lose your brakes, the truck driver can drive into the gravel pit, and they sink, and the gravel stops the truck. And you would think that with the jet, if it's going to go off the runway, you know, put a gravel pit at the end or something like that, so it can grab the plane. But they don't do it, you know.
Maybe what they need to put, not a gravel pit, because I would sit there and I could see where that could be a problem, but perhaps they could do something like on an aircraft carrier. They have a harness at the end.
Like a catch.
A catch that, you know, hey, we can't slow down. Okay. You know, pop up the harness and, you know, everyone's hopefully buckled in. There's no safe way to do it. The other thing I will say, generally that kind of plane, the smaller commuter planes, when pilots, you know, they get the, you know, okay, you get approved and American Airlines goes, "You're hired, buddy. Okay, we're going to start you out on the smaller planes." You might get the little,
puddle jumpers. Yeah.
Yeah, the puddle jumpers, or you might get the little jets, the commuter jets that hold 50, 60 people. That's what you do. You elevate up, and there's pay grades to that, but these guys got it harder because they really have to at a certain time kick in and be a pilot. Older pilots, they've been around for a while. Theoretically, they know. They've now been checked out on the big planes. They're automated pretty much. You know, you see the pilot walk in with the black bag. You know, yeah, there's some, you know, aeronautical things in there, but basically it's charts and information, and in case he's got to take over that plane.
The other thing I wonder, Bill, is was there some kind of interference that caused confusion for the pilots of both of those aircraft, meaning the helicopter and the jet? I know you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, I was watching some of the coverage last night, and it wasn't a half hour into the search and recovery that all of a sudden I'm seeing drone footage over the site, and I'm thinking, that can't be legal. You can't have a drone flying around a recovery site like that without putting yourself in trouble, the guy who has the drone.
Right. There's more to this picture than meets the eye. I remember I was doing some work on the internet, and then I saw the thing MSN breaks in, and it's, Maddow there sitting there going, well, this is breaking, you know, and they were like, big thing. And they're going, apparently a small plane has had a collision with a commercial airliner, and there's a rescue operation going on in the Potomac. And you see, you know, both sides of the shore lined up with all these emergency things. And I'm going, for a small plane, no, that means the airliner went down, and no, even then you wouldn't have that thing there. But see, there was military involvement, and right away they knew they had to get all hands on deck. So what was going on with that chopper all the way around?
Yeah.
Why was it there? This is not a normal thing. So, and I don't know that we'll ever get the truth, at least not right away. I think Trump will try to get us the truth because he tries to lay it out there. The left will make fun of him, and I'm sure they're already making fun of him today for his post. But his post is verifying.
It's the leader of free world commenting on something which just happened. He's
verifying what we saw in the video now. There's no denying it.
Yeah. The D.C. air traffic control people, they saw it happen. And listen, here's what they sounded like. Listen.
Fire command. The accident happened in the river. Both the helicopter and the plane crashed in the river. It's east of the approach end of runway 33.
Is the airfield closed?
Yes, the airfield is closed. The airfield is closed.
Runways as well?
Yes, all runways are closed. Nobody's landing. No one's moving at all. It was probably out in the middle of the river. I just saw a fireball, and then it was just gone. So I haven't seen anything since they hit the river, but it was a CRJ and a helicopter that hit, I would say, maybe a half mile off the approach end of 33.
Wow, it is.
Wow, he's right. Holy smokes. The thing that I was thinking about when that was airing was, you said a little while ago, there's more to the story. Some people may say it may just be an accident, but then again, it may not be an accident.
Let me throw a sidebar at you, because Trump, you know, why didn't the helicopter, it looked like he was, you know, like the helicopter didn't budge. He was like, it was on a mission.
Bill, I watched the footage last night. I challenge anybody who watches the footage. It goes out over the Potomac, the helicopter. It stops. It seems to stop, and it seems to turn to the back end of the helicopter. You can see it. It turns, you know, like parallel to the shore and stays stationary, like it was lining up for something.
It's like you would see in a movie. Now, they said there were three guys in the helicopter. Now, here's a question for you. All right. You know, you might say, were these guys, was it a suicide mission? Was there something else going on? Were there three guys in the helicopter?
Well, I was just
going to
say.
Was there somebody operating that helicopter by remote? Did they land somewhere, or did somebody take it off? And far as we know, there are three people, and maybe, you know, there are three dead people that supposedly were on that helicopter. I mean, they're looking for bodies. They're looking for something besides bodies, which is number one. Number two, the carnage of the tangled aircraft. And then number three, you know, there's a lot of military there, a lot of rescue people there, and a lot of units there. Was there something on that?
I think they're saying that there was a figure skating contingent on that airplane. But the question is, do we really know who was on any of those
craft? Could have been one person.
Yeah.
One person. And, you know, you sit there and you look at, well, who would do something like this? And I look to another story where, you know, the January Sixers are that have been pardoned are being attacked, and they're being prosecuted. You know who's funding that? Soros. So he's the dark money behind that, and even Alvin Bragg and everything else. So backing up again, I'm not saying he has anything to do with this, but there could be something, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy guy. I'm really not, you know. But this is the worst, and it's even in the news. It's the worst accident in the foreseeable history that we got.
Yeah,
you got to go back years.
Yeah,
years.
This is bad. And they say they've recovered 18 bodies as of the recording of this program. But everything is we're taking the word of strangers, and we don't know what's going on. You find yourself saying, might there be an air pocket in the fuselage, and somebody is still hanging in there? But then you think the water was ice this time last week, so it's like 35 degrees the water, and people can't spend hours and hours in 35 degree water.
Well, and there was a fireball when they hit. There was a fireball.
Yep.
Now, when planes usually, I mean, their FAA requirements of you got to have so much fuel when you land. But on the commercial airlines, they got it figured down to the wire. So that plane probably didn't have, you know, a lot of fuel in it
left.
And the aviation fuel there, I forget what they do to it, but they put something in it so that, you know, you don't have the flash up fires. That was a big fireball.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, what you said about how much fuel to carry is correct. If you're a pilot of a commercial airliner, from what I understand, you figure out how much fuel you need to get to your location. Then you keep enough fuel on board to go to an alternate landing spot in case you can't land. That happened last night. A lot of planes were coming into Reagan were diverted to Dulles and to Baltimore, Washington, you know, BWI. So they had enough fuel to do that. But they couldn't have flown back probably to Boston or to Chicago. They didn't have enough fuel.
Yeah, I mean, you get into the weight and balance of everything. Everything is calculated. The amount of passengers, there are some assumed weights, and, you know, the luggage and the balance of that and the loading of the plane. And the fuel weighs into it. So, yeah, you plan that out. You're sitting there going, yeah, I'm going to fly 230 miles. This plane should do that. I'm at this altitude. I'll be this speed. There's what I need.
So, and yes, sometimes an accident is just
an accident.
But then this again, when you talk about something like this happening, a mile and a half from the White House, a mile and a half from somebody who is a target, you wonder, might there be more to it? I mean, we've gone 40-some years without an accident, a plane crash, in Washington, and all of a sudden this guy gets sworn in as president, and there's one right down the road from where he's staying. And is there a connection? I don't know. I do not know. I do know that the Black Hawk helicopter carries weapons. It had a mission. Maybe it wasn't a good. I mean, I'm just saying. Don't know.
Well, okay. We're throwing out conspiracies, so here you go. I'll throw a nice loop-de-loop out here for you. So maybe this was a mission of deception. In other words, distraction. Is there something else that's going to happen? Well, what are we going to do to get America focused away from the real objective? Well, let's take down a plane.
It could be.
Tragic accident.
Yes, it could
be. That's a weird, now that's, okay, just, you know, from the twisted mind of night. But the simple fact is, you can't rule anything out because this accident does not make sense.
No. Will we find out? Historically, recently, we haven't been told the truth about just about anything. I mean, we're still waiting to hear on the Kennedy assassination, and Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy. Trump said he's going to release all that stuff. Looking forward to seeing it, but I'm sure we're not going to get everything. The story that we got from the White House a couple of days ago about the drones, it wasn't the story that I think is accurate, based upon information that I've heard from people who are in the know. Either it was a distraction story, or meaning that Trump wasn't given the information, the right information.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's telling us is the story someone else wants him to tell, you know?
Well, I would believe that, but there's also the possibility is you want the truth, the whole truth, you can't handle the truth. And so that's the story. And they probably, Trump can handle the truth. And I don't think he would sugarcoat it. You know, he's the guy that, you know, hey, tell me what you really think. He's going to tell you in unsugarcoated right. words. So, and there's a lot of evidence. Well, he won the presidency and he's firing people. How deep is the deep state? You know, how deep is the ocean? It is so deep.
It is so deep. Don't think for one second that he's even touched the real players in the deep state. They're burrowed mm-hmm. so deep, and they are so powerful, and they are so evasive. You know, he's getting rid of the surface dwellers, but there's the decision makers that they've planned. They have contingencies for stuff like this, and mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy maneuver. Stephen Miller was talking to Jake Tapper, who is, I find, just amazingly despicable, because the guy just, he's not out to get a real answer. He's out to get the answer he wants. He was talking to Stephen Miller about the use of troops when they're rounding up all these illegals. And here's what Stephen Miller had to say. Listen.
Yes, ICE is absolutely prioritizing terrorists, public safety threats, and national security threats. It is also true that Joe Biden admitted some unknowably large number of millions of illegal immigrants into this country, all of whom are ineligible for asylum, ineligible for any form of immigration relief, are ineligible to remain in the country. So if you look at public polling on this issue, about 70% of Americans think that everybody that Joe Biden let in should be removed. About 80% of Americans agree that all criminal aliens should be removed. That's the baseline of public opinion support.
So you are going to prioritize the violent criminals, though. That's the thing I'm
Yes, but we're not going to immunize everybody that Joe Biden let in. I mean, let me ask you a hypothetical, and you can treat it as a rhetorical question, not answer it if you don't want to, Jake.
I appreciate it.
Let's say that an illegal alien arrived in the last 3 months of the Biden administration from, say, Peru. He was released. He failed to appear in immigration court. He was issued a final removal order. So showed up, got released, didn't appear, ordered deported. Been here for 6 months. Is it your position, Jake, that guy should get to stay till the end of his life? I mean, what kind of country can run that way?
Okay.
I mean, no country in the world runs that way.
So let me ask you, President Trump has left the door open to invoking the Insurrection Act, which would allow him to use military forces, U.S. military forces, inside the United States for law enforcement. What would that look like? Are we going to see U.S. troops in American cities arresting undocumented immigrants? Tell us what this is about.
So the Insurrection Act in this context mostly applies to considerations related to the border and the cartel threat. So we've already seen two shooting incidences in the last 2 days of suspected cartel violence against Border Patrol agents. President Trump's clampdown and closure of the southern border has disrupted the flow of funds to the most ruthless and dangerous organizations on planet Earth, like the Sinaloa cartel, like the Mexican mafia. These are organizations that are being designated as foreign terrorist organizations, and the president has set the national objective mm-hmm. of eradicating their physical presence on U.S. soil. So you should understand considerations about the Insurrection Act in that context.
So
With respect to interior enforcement,
yes,
that's where a program known as 287G comes into play that you're probably familiar with. And that's where we're going to be enrolling state police, local sheriffs, and law enforcement across the nation into federal immigration programs. And that's how we're going to significantly increase the arrest numbers.
But is the Insurrection Act going to possibly be used to use the U.S. military to go after undocumented immigrants in American cities and American towns? Is the door open for that?
Right now, the Insurrection Act, which is still being considered based on operational needs on the southern border, so no decision has been made, is specifically in the context of countering that cartel threat. In the interior, it's going to be about enrolling state and local law enforcement to massively increase the supply of guns and badges to conduct these immigration raids.
All right, so you're not ruling it out, but that's not the plan right now.
Here's the thing that gets me is, listen, listen. They talk about posse comitatus, that you can't use troops against American citizens. But if I understand this correctly, with the Insurrection Act, you can use U.S. troops in our interior of our country against foreign actors. If you have people in this country who are not citizens, who are causing problems, right, you can use troops. And that's what he's not going to commit to saying we won't use them on the interior. Initially, they're using troops on the border. You heard about this, Bill, the day before yesterday. There was a gunfight on the border between cartels and the U.S. troops. Nobody was hit, but there was, I guess, quite an exchange of gunfire. So, and you would be out of your mind if you're going to be closing the border, and they're so used to, funneling all their drugs and all their crap across the border, and all of a sudden you shut it down, and they have an army. They don't have a restriction about use. They're going to use their army against you. You have to send your army. I understand we're sending a bunch of Marines down to the border, too, which should straighten things out. It'll be interesting. He also talked, Stephen Miller, about the ICE raids. Listen.
Sources say that ICE has been directed to ramp up arrests to at least 75 per field office per day. If every field office hits that quota or that number, that goal, that would be 1,875 undocumented immigrants arrested every day. Now, the Washington Post reports that President Trump has been disappointed with the numbers so far. I don't know if that's true. You will tell me if it is. What is the priority, though, when it comes to these deportations? Is the initial goal, as we had been told by Trump allies after the election, to go after those first, as a priority, to go after those who have committed violent crimes and are part of violent gangs? Or is it we're just going to go after anybody who is in this country illegally? We're not going to prioritize.
Well, yes, we are going to prioritize. So first of all, the numbers you cited are a floor, not a ceiling, very importantly. They're a floor. The goal is to arrest at least that many, but hopefully...
Here's the thing that gets me, and they don't seem to get it at CNN. Caroline Leavitt already talked about this several times during her press conference, that when you come into this country illegally, you don't come in through the proper channels, you are a criminal. You've broken our laws to get here. You have not been vetted. We don't know who you are. And you're here evading that issue. So, you know, they try to make it at CNN sound like, well, there's criminals and then there's like good people who came across. No, no. If you came across and you didn't do it the proper way, you didn't do it based upon our laws, you've broken a law. I mean, if you drive down the road and you're normally a good driver and you're doing 100 miles an hour and they stop and you say, well, I drive 364 days of the year, the speed limit. But today I did 100 miles an hour, but I don't know why you're giving me a ticket. You're giving me a ticket because you broke the law that one day. These people come across the border, they're breaking the law. Even if they may come across with their kids, and they may come across with their grandmother and all this stuff, and it makes for incredible visuals. We're a loving, generous country by nature, okay? But the fact of the matter is we have laws. Without our laws, if we didn't have a country of laws, we would have a terrible society. There'd be crime all over the place. There'd be no justice. Would be living in fear, but we have a country based upon the structure of law, you know, and to hear these Democrats talk like we're doing something wrong by trying to enforce those laws, that's despicable. That's just Jake Tapper, he's trying to make it sound like Trump is doing a real bad thing by, you know what else he's doing, Bill? Trump announced, he announced that he's going to use 30,000 jails, 30,000 beds at Guantanamo Bay. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the illegals. There are going to be some illegals that some countries will balk at, and we're going to kind of be stuck at, and people say, well, Well, initially, we're going to put them at Guantanamo. Who knows where they'll go after that?
Don't worry. I saw that, and I'm going, yeah, the left is going to be all over that. But, you know, these are, you know, illegals, and most of them criminals, if not all of them. And, you know, you're going to put 30,000 people there? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Every Democrat can volunteer a room for their house because we've got millions that Biden let in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big problem, and it's got to be corrected.
Well, if they, Tapper made it sound like, 1,500 or 1,700 a day is terrible, but it's a fraction of the amount of people that are here.
It's nothing. I mean, you got to wonder, 1,500 a day, how long is it going to take at that number to get this problem solved?
Well,
long time. Supposedly
Trump was not happy with the numbers. He wants more. And I think he'll get more. You know, people forget we're not even 2 weeks into Trump's presidency. And already we've deported more people than Biden did in his entire term.
Well, yeah, Biden imported, he didn't deport. And Trump wants more numbers, and I agree with him. He wants more numbers. But the left is out there. The day that he was sworn in, as soon as he took, the second that he was officially the president, they filed 90 lawsuits based on what he's intending to do. Not that they're illegal. They're just sitting there going, we don't like it, so we're going to argue with you about it in a court of law where we have judges. Really?
People saying, well, good people are being rounded up with the bad people. I mean, how do you differentiate? You don't differentiate. Oh, they have one question to ask. Are you legal? Do you have proof of citizenship? Do you have a right to be here? That's actually three questions.
If you're legal,
yeah.
If you're legal, you have proof.
Right.
And that should be there. And plus, if you're legal, and when they round you up and you give them whatever you have, you can't tell me the government doesn't have accurate databases.
They probably can check in a second.
No, they got their citizenship or they're in the process of and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. You're free to go. Have a nice day. Sorry for the inconvenience. But if they don't get that, look, we've got to detain you and take you out of the country because you don't have anything to prove that you are here legally. Welcome to come back properly.
My question to you is, we're hearing the squeals from the leftist media now, but when the time comes when they actually start to round up the families and the illegal families and send them back to their home country, are we going to see real squealing from the left?
I think we are. We're going to see a lot more. They are intent to stop and disrupt Trump every bleeding second of the way of his time in the White House. And if they could figure out a way to get him out of there and get their people back into play, they would.
Hey, we haven't talked about Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee yet, Bill. Normally we do it at the top of the show, but we had a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah. More important, unfortunately.
Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, a delicious blend of the finest coffee beans. We have a new slogan, in case you... you haven't heard it. Well, we're thinking about making it a new slogan. It's called Make America Percolate Again. I like that. Make America Percolate Again. Hats off to my friend Bart down in Florida who sent that to us. Said, hey, guys, I got just the slogan. You know, Make America Percolate Again. I thought, ooh, that is a certain je ne sais quoi, as they would say. So, what do you think? Do you like it? Do you have? Do you think that works for you?
Yeah, I like it. I'm thinking of a T-shirt. You know, Make America Percolate Again. A cup of coffee there, Right Side Coffee.
How about a baseball cap? Like Make America Percolate.
If we can get one, you know, the thing is, you got to sit there. How much space do they give you? It depends on our vendors that can do that.
So it would be MAPA, right? Not MAGA. It would be MAPA. you know.
Yeah.
We could have
the MAPA shirt, the MAPA hat.
Yeah, we could also have Brew. Make America Brew Again. Would be MABA?
No. You probably just have MAPA coffee.
Yeah, well, that kind of works. It kind of flows. You can get used to that. MAPA coffee. Make America percolate again. And thanks again, Bart. I'd like to say that we're sending you residuals for that, but we're not. No. We're going to send you exactly what Bill and I make for doing this show. Right?
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, you know what? Start planning now, and you'll have no place you can spend it.
Exactly. Anyway, that's Jimmy Bill's Right Side Coffee, available right now at rightsideshop.com. It's a delicious cup of coffee. And like we've said so many times, it's the perfect cup of coffee to give to your liberal friends when they're coming over to your house to challenge you politically on some political, you know, something that you believe in. Just sit them down at the table. They may have a nasty look, an aggressive look on their face when they sit down because they're getting ready to challenge you. Give them a cup of Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It calms them right down. Really does. Life isn't so bad after all. Make America percolate again with Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. We have Juan Jose and the Border Crossers to sing our jingle.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
So very well done. I like MAPA. MAPA's good. You know,
I wonder if we ought to get them to, you know, if we decide to do that, to write us a new jingle.
Well, maybe that's a good idea. We could do that. Yeah. Wake up on the right side with MAPA coffee. A big thank you to my friend Bart. He knows who he is. I don't want to give his last name because, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be associated with the show.
Well, you know, hey, Bart, I get it. There's a lot of people that don't want to be associated with me.
Well, we're not going to go there right now.
Yeah.
You see where Senator Bob Menendez? Oh, this guy's
out. Yeah. Well, he's out of life and into prison.
Yeah, he was a big critic of Trump, but, you know, especially in the first term, and he said some nasty stuff about Trump. Kind of mocked the Trump claims of lawfare. You mm-hmm. know, all of a sudden, everything turned to mush for Bart yesterday in court. Judge gave him 11 years. 11 years in jail. He's 71, so he'll be 82 if he does his full term, although he probably will get time for being a good boy and maybe get out in 6 or 7 years. You know.
So was he spilling beans on the Democrats or wishing for a pardon or both? Because he said in his tearful,
yeah.
acknowledgement of everything, he goes, President Trump was right. The process or this process is political.
Here's exactly what he said.
Welcome to the Southern District of New York, the Wild West of political prosecutions. President Trump is right. This process is political, and it's corrupted to the core. I hope President Trump cleans up the cesspool and restores the integrity to the system.
Are you going to ask for it?
And then he walked away. He said, I hope... It's the Wild West, he said, and it's political lawfare, and I hope Trump cleans up the cesspool. You know, I was thinking when he said that, is he looking for a pardon?
It could be that, or he could have been just quite frankly saying, yeah, he played the game, he played along with it. He's not the only one that did stuff like this, but he's the one that got caught. So now, all right, guys, you're all guilty. And now I'm going to lay out the truth. Maybe you could look at it that way.
He is referred to with a smile as Gold Bar Bob. I think they caught him with a stash of cash, some gold, and he had this brand new Mercedes convertible. And I mean, call me crazy. I guess a senator makes about what, $200,000 a year, which mm-hmm. means it's a lot of money, but. I think the Mercedes convertible was like almost $100,000. I don't know. Don't these guys know how to tone it down a bit? If you're going to take corruption, you don't flaunt it. You know, mm-hmm. you don't say, oh, I think I'll go buy myself a Rolls.
The only thing that was suspicious about things, they said, yeah, they found in his closet boxes stuffed with gold and money stuffed in shoes. And I'm going to like, wait a minute. Now that, you know, I'm not saying
you're wondering whether it was a setup.
Bingo.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't put it past the government to do something like that, would you?
No. And you know, there again, like the airline story, there's more than meets the eye right here. I don't think he's going to live his full 11 years. He's going to get distraught and just.
Or he'll get some disease in prison or something like that. Or, you know,
The guard will go for coffee and forget.
He'll hang himself.
The bed sheets. He'll be hanging from the.
Yes. He'll pull an Epstein.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how that happens. Yeah, you know, Epstein have a story to tell.
You got
to
smile. Epstein was on suicide watch. They were watching him to make sure he didn't commit suicide. But I guess they figured, hey, guys, look, it seems quiet. Let's all go for coffee.
Yeah, he looks okay right this minute. Now, hey, Bob, I'll get you coffee.
Coffee's
you right
on
there.
Me.
And then, Bob, what happened? Yeah. I had to go to the bathroom, man.
I don't know what happened. I mean, you should have taken his sheets with us. Yeah. Anyway, I think that Epstein had said that he was not suicidal at one point, too.
Yeah, because he knew it was coming. They probably said, you're going to suicide yourself. Yeah. You know, these bastards that do stuff like that, we don't call them bastards for no reason at all. You know, and they do that.
You know, you asked, we were both talking about this terrible plane crash in D.C. If everything they're saying is true, if the casualties are what they are, it's devastating. It's truly sad. But I was thinking, there's so much distrust right now in our country towards the officials that give us the details. We have been lied to time and time again. Again, even to this drone story in New Jersey, if I could see all of our listeners, if I said, hey, guys, how many of you guys right now believe the story we just got is true, that they were all authorized by the FAA and there's nothing to look at as far as the New Jersey drones, raise your right hand. Nobody would raise their right hand. Everybody
well, I
gotta would
tell
say,
you,
no. Go ahead.
It actually, because Trump came out and said, okay, this is the story.
Right.
You know, I thought, I don't believe this story. It kind of makes me go, Trump, you know, get to the bottom of this. Just don't sit, don't throw something out there unless you have something to.
What it says, Bill, to me is that the people who are sitting in the intelligence area right now are still trying to BS President Trump. See, he hasn't got his people in place yet.
Not all of them.
Nope. So if he called the CIA or whatever or National Intelligence and said, what's the story with those drones? Oh, sir, they were all authorized by the FAA. There's nothing to worry about. It was just a lot of commotion for nothing. That would be the story that they gave him. And that would be the story that we would have gotten the other day. But I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. No, I did. Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer, an expert on UFOs. And what was his name? A lieutenant general. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it later, but I don't need to have it. I'll think of it when I'm driving down the road or something like that. A lieutenant general retired of the Air Force who's an expert on this, and Stephen Greer, a real renowned ufologist, have said, no, that's not the story. There's much more to what is going on over New Jersey. We're just not being told the truth. And the lieutenant general said, look, whoever told Trump that story, the one that he issued in the press conference, should be removed. He should be removed because he's not telling the president the truth. So
I agree.
But then again, that goes to the story in D.C., Bill. Are we being told exactly what's going on? You know what else I saw, Bill? I was going to tell you this, too. I saw a video. I follow this guy who does reports out of Washington. They call him Penguin Six. And he's a pretty interesting guy. He lives in D.C. and he has a video camera or several. He's retired, I think, and it's kind of like a hobby of his to be like he's in the press. He goes down and covers different events and sells his videos and his pictures to the media, you know, of things that are going on. This is just a couple of days ago. He happened to go down to the Potomac River, and the divers were in the water, you know, testing, using their wetsuits and all of their gear in this icy, broken, frozen, you know, water. And I thought to myself, is that a coincidence that they were out doing these practices, and here's a situation that happens yesterday, and they have to use it for real, you know? It just seemed odd.
Ironic.
Yeah. It really
well,
did.
You know, and you were talking about the deep state, and, you know, we were, and, you know, Trump said, you know, for a lot of federal employees in that deep state, some are good, some are bad, but you can get a buyout. You have until February 6th, at which point in time you're fired.
Yeah.
And what happens to some of these deep staters when they get fired?
Well, some of USDA them won't leave.
USDA Inspector General physically removed by security after refusing to comply with her firing. You can't
I'm
fire
not leaving.
Me. I'm not leaving. I'll show. Wait, what are you taking me? Wait, whoa, whoa.
Your job
is, well, I was going to say it's not a privilege. It is. It's not an entitlement. It is not, you know, it's not etched in stone by a burning bush in West Texas. It is. You know, you're there at our will, and we will you to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I don't get that one. What was going on in this woman's head that she thought that, I don't care what he says. I'm staying here, and I'm doing my job.
Well, you know what she's going to do? She's going to sit there and file a lawsuit. They're probably already with her attorney working on it today, saying that she was mishandled, you know, manhandled and verbally assaulted and everything else and physically. She's going to file a lawsuit. She's going to use it to get some money, and the Democrats will sit there and use it as a story that they can twist, and they do that a lot.
And, you know, my first instinct is to say she'll get nowhere with that lawsuit. But then I think, well, you know, look at that liberal judge who just put a freeze on Trump's decision about freezing government funds. You know, he was a liberal judge. Oh, they'll be the first to say, well, he was a Reagan appointee. Well, I mean, doesn't mean he's a, you know, Joe conservative. He's up there in Oregon or someplace like that, and they handpicked him. So maybe he's changed over the years. You know, it's been like 35 years since Reagan's been in office, 40 years.
Now, let me ask you this, a little change here, but, you know, the federal spending freeze, which is nothing more on these programs than to sit there and examine them to see if we really need them, you know, or if they're just, you know, gifts that are lingering out there. And the Democrats cried, cried, cried. The news media cried, cried, cried. And now they rescinded the order. And because they were filing lawsuits and Schumer got litigious. Oh, it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. Okay, I have a copy of the Constitution. Show me specifically where it says.
What's interesting, Bill, is they rescinded the memo from OMB.
Right.
But they didn't rescind the order from the president on the freeze. Like there's two parts to that. I guess the problem, at least the one that they stayed, was the OMB memo. Maybe something was worded wrong or the process wasn't right, and that's what was frozen. But the actual freeze of the funds, it's still in place, from what I understand.
And it should be in place because we should examine all that. Elon Musk in the news, Trump is asking him to rescue those astronauts that have been stranded up there for 8 months, which that's interesting. Now, I do know that maybe it's changed, but usually when rockets take off, there are, because of the rotation and everything, there are flight windows times. There's opportunistic times to take off and do that, other times not. But, you know, rockets are different today.
You know, I keep thinking about those poor people. They only brought one change of clothes. I mean, they had the clothes they were wearing. They didn't think they were going to be there for 8 months. If you'll remember, they were supposed to go up there and be home by now. They were supposed to be home by, what, September, October? And
yeah, I was going to say, how many times can you turn your underwear inside out? But actually, they used diapers. How many diapers did they send up there?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, look, guys, most you'll be up there is for 60 days. We'll give you 90 days worth of diapers. They've been up there for, you know, for, what, 8 months?
Yeah, and so they're trying to keep a stiff upper lip, as they would say. You know, when they do these video interviews with these, oh, we're here and having a great time. There's no problem. And I'm thinking, as soon as the camera goes off, get us the hell out of here.
Oh, man. Do you know it's got to be, they're going to have to fumigate the capsule. That's no offense to them, but, you know, that bad boy's got to be ripe.
Yes, well,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my God. And if you're going, oh, Bill, just pause for a minute and say, you and another person up there without a lot to change and everything like that, and time goes on and there's so much fresh water.
Right.
You know, do I have a glass of water or do I?
Well, you know. And I guess President Trump said to Elon Musk, look it, you can do it. Would you please get him down? And I guess Elon Musk has said he would do it, so we'll find out. But it's really it's a black mark. It's a punch in the eye to Boeing. Boeing, they were supposed to be on the forefront of the next. They can't get their stuff back.
Now here's the problem, and here's where the Democrats come in. You know, because he had that rocket go up. It was an unmanned rocket. It was a test flight. That the blast off booster came back down properly and was caught to be reused.
Right.
It was the actual payload, fake payload, you know, capsule itself, biggest ever. You know, it had a problem. It was an experimental rocket and it blew up.
Right.
So they grounded SpaceX. They came and grounded. So he can't take a rocket and shoot it up right now, or can this bypass it? You know, by Trump saying, no, get up there and get
well,
him.
I think
with one of your regular ones.
I think he can probably get an exception from the president. But do you know what's really sad, Bill? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I guess it was like a couple of months after they were stuck up there, and their vessel was on the space station, the one they came up in. Apparently, Boeing retrieved it remotely. They got it.
Yeah.
They backed it off, and they literally flew it back, and there wasn't a problem with it. So how would you like to be stuck up there and find out afterwards that the ship that you were on, it worked fine. It got back to it got back. It was retrieved. Nothing was wrong, and it's home. It's home. You're not.
You know? Mount Vesuvius is about to blow up, and you missed the last train out of town.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, you know, or the last ship to get the hell off the island, you know, whatever.
There's so much stuff going on, Bill. I was thinking not too long ago that when I was younger, the news cycle was busy, but it was much slower. Now, something will happen major on a Friday, and I'll think, oh, we got to talk about it on Monday. But by the time Monday comes along, it's old news.
Something else has happened.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Old news or something else has happened. I don't know. The California fires happened, and they're still going on. They're flaring up again.
But they're not
talking about it.
Yeah.
No, and is that a distraction, too? You know, is focus off in California.
I think Gavin Newsom would want you not to think about it, you know.
Well, yeah, the Democrats are going, look, you know, our dirty laundry is being aired too much. Something else has got to go on. Now, I'm not saying that the flight had anything to do with this.
Right.
I think there's something far more nefarious there, and we don't know what it is. And, you know, the fact that they were out there testing their diving capabilities in the frozen Potomac, you know, just prior to, oh, you need us now, which apparently their practice is not doing that well because... You know, I would have thought that with trained guys like this, they would be able to get down there and get things going. I mean, granted, it's not even been 24 hours yet, but
right.
Still.
Well, Hey, listen, I think we're not being told the truth about a lot of things. I know that sounds I'm skeptical about everything. I just think that we have they almost have a routine in Washington where the first story to come out on any story is usually a lie. It's usually been massaged, as they would say.
Massaged, yes.
Pete Hegseth was on with Will Cain. They were talking about Mark Milley. You know, he lost his security and his security clearance. His security details what he lost, and he also lost his security clearances. And they're trying to demote him from 4 stars to 3 stars. Here's what Pete Hegseth said.
I want to ask you about General Mark Milley. His photo, his portrait was taken down at the Pentagon. He has, I think there is currently a commission being put together to explore whether or not he should be demoted. His security clearances have been taken away. Tell me the thought process, both there at the Pentagon, at the White House, with Mark Milley.
Accountability is back, Will. It's the understanding that if you actively undermined the chain of command, as General Milley did under the previous Trump administration, we are going to review those actions administratively inside the Defense Department. Mark Milley got a pardon. That's something President Biden was in his purview to do. Just like in our purview at the Defense Department, we have the opportunity to review things he may have done inside the chain of command while President Trump was president that undermined those authorities. So security clearance in the interim is revoked. There will be a review of the rank he will retain upon retirement, and he'll have that process. But this is a demonstration that inside President Trump's Defense Department, we're going to hold not just junior levels or mid-level, the highest levels possible accountable for actions. And that's what the signal this is meant to send.
Wow. And what that also says to me is that, you know, they're talking about demoting him a rank and stuff like that. But if during this investigation that they're doing, that they determined that as a military officer, he committed treason, I don't know whether that's going to be covered by the pardon that Biden issued him, that blanket pardon. So, you know, more to come on this story with Mark Milley. What this guy was—he was a doofus. I'm sorry, but he—I think he bragged about the fact that he talked to his counterpart in China and said, "Hey, listen, if we're going to attack you, don't worry about it. I'll call you. I'll give you a little heads up."
That alone should take away all of his stars.
I agree. Should put him next to those illegals down in Gitmo. But
Sorry, buddy, but you've been busted down to buck private and court-martialed.
Wow.
You know?
Well, and the other thing is this. Can they? I think they can. I think that Hegseth can reactivate the retired Milley and bring him back into active service and then court-martial him. And that wouldn't be covered, I understand, from that blanket pardon that Joe issued to everybody. I think Biden was giving them to the doorman. He was, you know, if you were hanging around out in the lobby and you look forlorn, Biden gave you a pardon. That kind of guy. Hey, I want to remind people again, you can get our Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's available right now at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. Very simple. If you forget that, Bill, how else would they find it?
Well, they can go to our website, or they can go directly to it. Just it's rightsideshop.com and get to that, and you'll see it right there. Or you can go to our itsanotherday.com, and at the top on the menu bar, it says Right Side Shop, and get it and get percolating.
You had a little digital artifact, so I'll repeat that. If you go to our website, itsanotherday.com, on our homepage, on the very top, if you look right there, it'll say rightsideshop.com, and you click on that, and it'll take you right to that that's digital storefront, and you'll find baseball hats and T-shirts and stuff like that. As my cohort in crime would say, swag, not swag.
Swag.
Swag. He likes the swag. He softens it, makes it a little more meaningful, I think, by saying
you want me to make it more evil or something?
No, I think the way you say it is kind of nice.
All right.
Swag. It should actually be pronounced that way, but you know, those.
It just sounds, look, swag doesn't sound so cool.
No.
Well, you're giving me swag? What's that? But
that sounds like a disease, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, it really does. But, you know, look.
I was out with
really.
I went on a date and got swag, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've come home swaggering. That's a whole different thing. But swag, man, you got some cool swag there, baby.
Yes. Anyway, rightsideshop.com. It's the place to find Jim and Bill's right side coffee. I know. So many different things I'm saying here. I'm getting confused. I get confused in a turnstile. So, hey, anything else you want to talk about this morning, Bill? You have a bunch of stuff, I think.
Well, I did, but we've gone through a lot. I'm saying, oh, well, you know what was funny? And you might even have it there, but I guess.
Bill, you know what we forgot?
What?
We forgot Juan Jose and the border crossers.
Oh, yeah. Go.
You know, I think I'll be son of a.
They're crying right
now. No, I think they're calling their union rep. Oh, I didn't know they had one.
Wait, they're illegals, and they got the illegal union.
It didn't take them long. Anyway, they're here to sing the jingle, guys.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. I like that. I like the coffee, too. I'm sorry. You were saying, Bill, before I so rudely interrupted you.
I was going to talk about RFK Jr., you know, and the hearings going on for him, and I guess there was Elizabeth Warren, who really made an ass of herself and was basically, you know, shown it. And then there was Bernie Sanders. And if you see the picture in the background, Megyn Kelly sitting there laughing at the doofus.
Yeah. I saw that. You know, you're talking about Elizabeth Warren making an ass of herself. People say, how could you tell? Well, it was the long ears and the tail that was the dead giveaway. They seemed determined not to ask real questions, the left, just to take their time to berate and to demean Robert Kennedy, to minimize him. They did not, even when they asked a question, they never gave him a chance to answer it. They would step on him, or when they did, when they determined that Robert Kennedy's answer was better than they had thought, they would jump in and stop him. Well, it's my time, and I reclaim my time, and I want to say, and they would try desperately to demean him. But what they showed the public is how rude and disrespectful and how un-American these senators were, all of them on the left. They weren't there to investigate this candidate and to consider his answers. They were there to tear him apart. They were like a bunch of jackals, you know? And it was a sorry time, but I was reading, Bill, where in you know, they do odds in Vegas on the chances of these people getting in. They say that Kennedy has a 74% chance of being confirmed, that no matter what, he did a good job. And they're still going to go probably with the odds are that he's going to get in. So,
I hope so. He deserves it. I think he has done a good job. And I think it's really an embarrassment that the Democrats are doing what they're doing, and any woke Republicans doing that too. And what they're doing to Tulsi is bad. And these two people are not Republicans. You know, they were used to be Democrats. But see, if you leave the Democratic Party, you get punished. Now, the other guy that I think secretly likes Trump, well, he said he likes Trump, and Trump said he's an okay guy, is Fetterman. And he's getting a lot of flack now from the Democrats.
Oh, they'll tear him apart, too.
It won't be long before he jumps off that ship. Now, whether he becomes a Republican or not, I don't know. He might be independent. But the simple fact is, he respects what Trump is doing and has done.
You know, Robert Kennedy even said during his confirmation hearing, he said, many of you on this panel used to be considered friends, you know, and now look at you. He said, I don't need this, you know. I don't need to be seated here. I don't need the money. One of them tried to imply that Kennedy was doing it for the money, which I thought to myself, are you an ass? I mean, That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. These people, each one of the Kennedys is worth about $50 million. The fortune that that family made, it'll take generations to go through it if they ever do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to make like a buck out of each bottle of scotch that came into our country. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was the Kennedy family. They had that lock on that import of booze into our country.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, you know, my dad, when I was young, told me all about the Kennedys and, you know, the conspiracies of why, you know.
Honey Fitch.
John, yeah, everything, yeah. And promises made and not kept and the whole nine yards. And I was like, okay, Dad. But either way, you know, all of that being said, you know, they got money, but I don't know.
I don't know why... I don't know why they are so bound and determined to work in the public interest. I mean, John Kennedy, he got his head blown off. You would have thought that would do it. I'm done. But 5 years later, Robert Kennedy went out and he ran, the father of Robert Kennedy Jr. And he was assassinated. You would think, my God, as a family, all right, we're done. No more of this stuff. And here's Robert Kennedy Jr. putting his his fortune and his reputation on the line again for the country.
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to see on RFK Jr. From the left, because I've seen the post from the left. Well, if you voted for Trump, you're not a Christian. If you're this, you're not a Christian. Well, RFK yesterday sat there and said, look, you know, I wanted to do something for, you know, the health, children, all my life, and I've gotten down on my knees every day and prayed for, you know, God to give me the opportunity, and Trump came along and given me the opportunity. Now they cut it off there, the audio, and I said, oh, they're going to say that he's saying Trump is God. No, he's not saying that at all. He's just saying, you know, God works in strange ways, and Trump is maybe the answer to his prayer.
And they also asked him, they tried to demean him by talking about problems he had when he was younger, you know. And he even at one point said, you know, I was a heroin addict for 14 years when I was a younger person. You know, all of those things, by the way, were things that he overcame and became a better person from. I mean, that's a terrible thing to have, to be addicted to heroin. You would think, my God. And I remember, by the way, when I was a young man, hearing stories about how he was caught up in that whole sick world, and I thought he'll never get out of it, but yet he did. And now you see him doing push-ups and pull-ups and being a health fanatic and being somebody who is trying to make everybody thinner and healthier, and you think, my God, this is the same guy? He learned from his mistakes. You know, we can't all be judged by what we did 40 years ago. You know, 45 years
sometimes,
ago.
Yeah, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, when you make a change, you make a change. And you know, there are good people that can hit something in their life or something snaps in the brain where they become a not so good person. People change, and he is a good person. He's gone from, he was a good kid coming up, you know, and maybe all the money, the politics, the focus of the news and everything else. Sometimes you rebel against things, and whatever reason he got into that world. But then he woke up one day and sat there and said, what am I doing in this cesspool? I got to get out. And he did.
His former vice presidential, excuse me, I don't know where that came from. His former vice presidential candidate, Nicole Shanahan, she said publicly yesterday, listen, you guys confirm this guy. And if you don't confirm this guy, I'm going to primary you. I'm going to pay to have you primaried. Now, you may say, what does that mean? Well, she's a billionaire. And that means that she can afford to do just about anything she has to do to bring your campaign down. She's got that kind of money. She was, I believe, the ex-wife of one of the founders of Google. You know, we're a flexible program here, and a little while ago we were talking about Trump and Gitmo, and I knew I had this, but I couldn't find it. I have the audio of Trump announcing the opening and the using of Gitmo for for prisoners. And I want to play it because it otherwise I will not have played it. So listen.
Today I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000 person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay. Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will double our capacity immediately, right? And that's a tough place to get out of. Today's signings bring us one step closer to eradicating the scourge of migrant crime in our communities once and for all. And it was just a purely, it's just an unforced error that we...
You know, I can't see them being there forever. So at some point, I would imagine if you're going to be using that facility, it'll fill up pretty fast. We've got millions here, yeah. Right? You got to think that they'll be taking them out of Guantanamo to another location. And there probably are other locations that we don't know about. Black sites.
Oh, I'm sure there are, and probably we don't want to know about them. The other thing going on, Trump got richer, $25 million richer.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
It was a settlement from Meta Platforms, which is Zuckerman, back in, what was
Zuckerberg.
It? Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, yeah, well, he's the Zuckerman.
Yes.
Yeah. Either way, they suspended his accounts. They suspended a lot of accounts back in 2021 and even after that they just you're right wing, gonna shut you down, cost them $25 million.
$22 million will be going to the Donald Trump presidential library. The rest will go to pay for lawyers, and I guess there were a couple of people who signed on as co defendants, and they'll get something too, a piece of it. So it should be. But what's interesting is Trump, if you wonder how wealthy the man is, he's not taking a dime of it for himself. Nothing. Yeah, he's not taking a salary this year, this time around either.
He didn't the last time.
Right.
And, nobody talks about that, but no, he didn't. And the 25 or $22 million going to the Trump library, President's got a library, and they don't get money back from that. And he's paying for his own because... every damn Democrat in the world would sit there and say, oh, we can't give him a library. Oh, my God.
You know who's going to be confirmed or not confirmed? He'll be in the hot seat today. Cash Patel. Patel's going to be in the line of fire. I'll be watching that because he's a spitfire, a smart guy, and he's not going to take a lot of grief from these people, I think. But and they're saying that Tulsi Gabbard is the one who probably she has the biggest chance of not being confirmed. I don't know why. She's a lieutenant colonel. She's been overseas and in war zones. She's been a U.S. representative, and she's been the Democratic one of the Democratic candidates for the presidency. And because she decided that the Democrats were going in a bad direction and decided to leave the party, now they're bound and determined to bring her down.
Wasn't she kind of considered, even though she, I liked her, she was kind of the darling of the Democrat Party, but then, they were doing some not so darling things, and she said, I'm getting, out of here.
Yeah.
And she did.
So I don't know why. We were talking about the betting in Vegas, and we mentioned that RFK 74% say he'll be confirmed. They say the Cash Patel, I think he has an 84% chance of being confirmed, which I found to be mind-boggling, but Tulsi has a 51% chance of being confirmed. It's like, So that'll be an interesting hearing to see them go after her.
How many Republicans are not going to side with her? Why and why?
Well, they should side with her. I don't know, Bill.
Because the Democrats are going to, she bailed out of our party lockstep. They're going to say no. So it's going to count on Republicans, and that means even the rhinos, So, yeah, you know, I think, and I'm sure that there's money backing this push to keep her out. Why do they want to keep her out? And it's not for a good reason.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough. You'll hear the left will have a ton of accusations, I'm sure. But what I've learned out of these hearings is you can't believe anything they'll throw at you, yeah, the left I'm talking about. They are just bound and determined to besmirch, to ruin the reputation of the people who are running. And by the way, to the Republicans who might be listening to this program, and by the way, we're heard far and wide by a vast variety of people out there. I mean, we have people in D.C. listening to our program. I know, but they're down there. And if you're down there and you happen to be one of the senators and you're a Republican on these hearings, don't make such an issue out of it. Just go along to get along. President Trump needs these people. He's vetted these people. He wants them to work on his team. Don't be such a stickler, because you weren't a stickler when Biden came in and gave us Alejandro Mayorkas. There's nothing wrong with our borders. Yeah, we're just letting them through like it's a throughway. No problem. Nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. We got Mayorkas. We got Pete Buttigieg. What the hell did he do for 4 years? Well, where's he been? He's been running down to get a latte in D.C. with his boyfriend. And this is the kind of people that we've had. We had a guy on the Biden administration who wore red dresses, a gaudy lipstick, was bald, had a mustache, and stole women's luggage. You know, I mean,
wore their clothes, and then they would take social pictures and post them. You know, he stole the luggage. Oh, she had a nice outfit. I'm going to put this on.
Yeah, exactly.
And take a picture.
And unfortunately,
what kind of retard does that?
Well, the doofus didn't realize that the clothes that he put on were designer clothes made by a woman who was known for her outfits, and she recognized the dress he was wearing, reported it to the police, and that was one of the reasons why he got arrested. You know, he's wearing the stuff that I had in my luggage. Amazing stuff. But we accepted all that. We had Admiral Rachel Levine, the father of several children. Yes, I know. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but he prided himself in wearing his admiral uniform, female admiral uniform. With all due respect, one of the ugliest women I've ever seen.
If you're in a room and a guy comes in wearing a dress, not as a, you know, as an acting, stage production thing, like the military, there were no women, so guys played the role in old times and acting. They did that, but just a guy, normal guy walking in going, I feel much better now. I'm in my regular attire here. I got a nice silk dress on. And I have panties to match. You know, it's like somebody's got to get the hell out of here. Yeah. And if you don't go, I'm going now. I'm jumping out the freaking window.
Yeah. But somebody should have sat down with Dr. Levine and said, or Admiral Levine and said, this female outfit doesn't work for you, Admiral. It doesn't help you out. You might want to get some blue jeans or something but he was a happy man. He was proud of himself, and he was bound and determined to work for the cause of transgenderism.
There's good news for those transgenders or guys that want to get together and have children. Apparently, scientists in China genetically engineered mice with two male parents. So yes,
wait. Pull over to the side of the road.
All right,
here we go. They took two male mice, right?
Two boy
mice, and they made it so that they could have a child, a little mouse, a meese.
I guess they used the stem cells, because stem cells are different.
That's a clone, isn't it?
The stem cells.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way that they describe it is that you know, they could do that to manipulate and cause the male, the other male.
They have now one very confused little mouse. Really? One very, very confused little mouse.
Now, why would they do something like this? There has to be intent, right? But one of the people, you know, in China that did this said, yeah, we just studied it to study it. We have no plans, quote unquote, to try to do it with humans.
Well, there's government funds being put to good use. You know?
Yeah, we have no plans to do that.
Well, well,
we already did
it. Can I ask you a question, Bill? Why is it in our world right now, right, we are trying constantly, wherever you look, we're trying to make robots that look like people and act like people, or make genetically modified animals that are, you know, are... You know, they're creating new life from places where they shouldn't be creating it. But on the same breath, they're promoting abortion. We're trying to stop you from having babies normally, encourage people not to have children. But you know, we'll create something in a test tube down the road.
Who knows? Because you know, you got robots that are sentient. You got the point that they say sooner or later. You know, these robots and everything will suck up all the computing power of the world.
Right.
You know, what they said,
Bill, is there's a possibility if these AI computers out there have their way, if they realize that there's a lot of potential out there from other computers, they may start to go after private computers around the world and start to use... They'll take control of your home desktop. You know?
Well, I mean, are they going to do another experiment where they try to sit there and meld a computer into a human body and make some kind of cyber genetic something or other?
You know, you didn't hear about this. You know what Elon Musk is doing in Florida, one of his companies in Florida? And this is a great thing. I hope it works.
Oh, yeah, the chip that helps you, yeah.
They're going to bypass, like if you're a paraplegic, they're going to bypass the brake, and they're going to connect your spine via computer. Now, I've heard about something like this for years. I think Cleveland Clinic tried to do this. But I guess now with the minimization of all these different parts and stuff like that, now it's practical. Whereas before, you know, the poor person had to wheel around a desktop, you know, an old desktop to make it work. Now they can put it in a chip, like you said, and it does even more stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess they can get that chip down. They have memory gel packs that are living packs. I remember, I think Carnegie Mellon, you know, had that. You know, you see it in sci-fi movies, but they actually have living cells that are essentially memory chips.
Well, we're living in interesting times. We could go on and on. We could talk about this forever, and we probably will tomorrow. But today's show is done. It's a wrap, my friend. We have had fun. Been kind of all over the place, but there's so much going on. There's so much happening. And again, if the story out of D.C. is true, it's a real tragedy, and our condolences to the people who were affected by that. It's terrible. We just don't know whether we're getting the true story. That's what we question right now. We'll find out maybe someday. I don't know.
Sooner or later, we'll get the truth.
Yep. As far as I'm concerned, my friend, I got nothing more to add to today's show. You going to wrap things up?
I've only got one thing to say, and that one thing is, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.